It is a Dude Friday edition of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And big guy, I'm not gonna lie. After being in Florida, so I was there from Saturday, and then I was in our station at West Palm in the Evan Cohen Memorial Studios doing our show on Wednesday. I kind of get the appeal. Kind of see why you're down there. Kind of see why here, you've though. Decided to go. What's that?
It's freezing here.
What's freezing?
The high is 63.
High here, I believe, is 48. I'll trade you.
Well, that ain't that bad. Yeah, but 48 there should translate to about 78 here.
Well, so
right?
I don't know if that. I don't know
no,
if your
because temperature
rate's off.
Is temperature.
Well, so no, okay, so here's the thing.
Blood is blood.
Here's what I've heard, and I don't. And Chewy, you can either tell me I'm right or tell me that this is way off. I have heard, and not that I've been down there for it. One of the days I woke up, I went outside, and it was like 40. It was like it is today. It was like 48 degrees. I'm like, this is what it was like at home. And the sun came out, and it ended up being okay. But I have heard that Florida cold is different.
Yes, it's damp.
Is that what it is? Is that what, yeah. Like, because I've heard that when it gets to, like, the low 40s, it just hits you different, and it just feels a lot colder, even when you're up here in Wisconsin. And I just assumed that was because everybody in Florida has their blood thinned out because of the warm weather, and they've just gotten soft over time.
Well, there is that, but I am literally about probably 18 yards from the water.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know, it's got to be high 50s, but yeah, it's different. It's chilly. Like, dry cold? God, I mean, that's not bad, right?
But
Zero degrees?
I've never heard anybody talk about dry cold.
Snow?
I've heard dry heat, like when we're talking about Arizona.
No, dry cold.
So it works the other way, too. The inverse also works.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But this shoot is, you this straight, is... I think this is all bull honky. I think it's soft.
Okay. What's the coldest you could play golf in Wisconsin?
Coldest I could play golf. I mean, coldest I have played golf in Wisconsin, probably like 38.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Like, I don't think I couldn't play golf yet. It's too cold. I mean, it's probably around 60.
What do you mean you couldn't play golf? You played in the frozen tundra. You played football.
Yeah, I know, but that just destroyed the body. It's like putting, you know, I don't know. And that was 30 years ago, Josh. Your blood does thin out when you get older, though.
Okay.
I mean, old people around here are wearing coats when it's high 70s. So there's got to be something.
Like a light jacket, though, right? We're not talking about like the heavy winter coat.
No, I've seen heavy coat. Not a winter coat, but more than a thin coat. You know, like what you're wearing.
The vest.
Like, I have to go to the Ohio State today, and it's 50, and I have no idea how to pack.
Well, probably because all your winter stuff is back here in Wisconsin.
I'll tell you how. No. You wear pants and a sweatshirt.
Yeah, but I don't want to wear that.
Then don't. Here are your choices. They're simple. They're simple choices. Wear what Joshy suggested and be comfortable.
Yeah.
Or wear your traditional shorts and zip up. And be cold.
No, that's way too cold. Way too cold.
That's what I'm saying.
And I hate wearing jeans. I hate wearing jeans.
I thought you found a pair that you really liked, though.
I think you're doing jeans wrong. I think you're doing jeans wrong.
No, I have not worn jeans probably. When's the last time I wore jeans down here? It's probably been 2 months.
You can get yourself a nice.
No, they're not comfortable. I don't care what you say. Shorts. Look, I'm taking this from a man that wears shorts 24/7, 365. Josh, I've never seen you in pants.
I wear pants 90% of the time.
Well, so he only sees you in shorts because he's up here when it's warm?
Right. In summer, yeah, I do wear shorts. Of course, because I haven't worn shorts out of the house since, like, October.
You're not going to tell me that jeans are more comfortable than shorts.
That's not what I was saying. I was saying there are types of jeans, now Levi's has them themselves, where they have a stretch to them. So you are getting a softer material, and more given it. These come standard. These are standard flight. But you can't tell when you look at them that they look like they have a stretch, but they stretch in the thighs. They stretch around the knees. They stretch around the butt.
Like, I'm going to wear my, what are they called? Joggers, Gabe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where it kind good. Of, you get the elastic around.
They're great, but they bunge in the crotchal region. And there's nothing worse on a plane than having bunge. Now, you know? Now, the nice thing about these shorts that they make now, Gabe, unbelievable. So I was on a flight down here one time where I love Oakley. Oakley are the best, right?
Okay.
Dump my full glass of wine on my shorts.
On the plane?
Yeah. And it just rolled right off.
Oh, moisture wicking.
What material is that?
I'm guessing it's similar to, have you ever bought, and again, maybe you don't play as much golf anymore, so maybe you don't. Have you ever bought, like, rain gear?
Yeah.
I would assume it's kind of similar to that.
But I don't want to say, pants,
you know, where it's just kind of, it's water repellent and the water just kind of is able to wick away.
But I hear the pants that you wear now, there's no need for a rain gear anymore. Is that true?
I mean, maybe there's pants that you can buy that are more expensive, but I mean, I'm just wearing, you know, Adidas, I guess golf pants is what they would be. I would want, if I was playing golf in these and it started to rain, I would want my golf pants because these would get very wet very fast.
Yeah, there is definitely a need for rain gear. It's just the rain gear doesn't look like it used to. The rain gear looks more like the standard issue stuff, but it is still specified for it. So, like, you don't look like you're wearing a trench out there.
Yeah.
But it like, you could get, like, a quarter zip that will be, like, rain resistant, and you'll be fine and look like you're just wearing a normal quarter zip.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why the dress never took off for men. You know? Because you got airflow down there. You don't have bunge. You know? It's probably a lot more comfortable. Like the kilt way back then, they had a good idea there, and then it went away.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I mean, it's not a thought that ever had crossed my mind.
No.
It'd be more comfortable.
Would it?
I mean, we
spent a lot of time on shrinkage on this program. Too much airflow could be a problem.
Joshy, we've all had the swamp tail.
Yeah.
Right? You never hear about girls having swamp tail.
Well,
I'm guessing they do. They just don't talk about it. Yeah. I don't think they're talking about it. I know we have some female listeners on the show. So hit us up on the talk and text line, on the Carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Of course, we do this the day that Jen is not here because, I mean, women certainly will wear shorts, will certainly wear dresses. I want to know which, you know.
Here's the plain and simple of it. Go to AmFam Field.
Yeah.
Go on a hot day with the roof open.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Watch people walk by you. Every person, despite their gender, will have swass. They'll have swass.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Especially on a day game on the third base side.
Yes.
You are basically cooking on the third base side.
Let me ask you this. If it's in, I'm not talking right now, but if it was in, would you wear like Lululemon, what do they call them, yoga pants? Now, those look really comfortable, right?
Here is the problem with yoga pants in men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
women can wear them, and there's not just a bulge.
Yeah, they don't have an appendage in the front.
That becomes the problem with the tight yoga pants you kind of, it's all just there for you to see.
Men's bodies are hideous. Most of them are hideous, right?
Not disagreeing.
Also correct.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but if you can get past that all.
But that's a lot.
I know it is a lot. But,
it's a big leap.
But the older you get, I'm telling you, the older you get, the less you care.
Well, yeah. Have you ever been in a men's locker room?
Unfortunately, yes.
Like a gym locker room. Not like an NFL locker room. Like a gym locker room. I guarantee you, the 25 to 35-year-olds are making sure they're covering up.
Yeah.
The guys who are walking around for you to see everything.
Why do you got so many feet on benches?
Yeah.
Why?
Good point.
Yeah, they got the towel around them.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, hey, somebody who actually decided to cover up, and then they put a feet on, put the foot up on the bench, and now I can see everything
again. Right, because, like, when I'm in the gym locker room, I will be naked for a split second.
Yep.
Because I put my underwear on. You know, it's like
you got to drop the towel and put the undies on.
No,
but there's a lot of just lounging. Yeah.
What do you mean you don't?
I don't. Because how do you go from where I was at playing for the Packers where, you know, 60% of the bodies in there are solid, man.
Oh,
they're either chiseled.
Mm-hmm. Have to be.
I mean, the O-line and D-line are kind of
Sure.
How do you go from that to Krusty Satchel in the gym locker room? But they're proud. I don't understand where the proudness comes from. Because I can tell you this. I'm 70 years old, I ain't going to be proud about my body, and I'm certainly not going to be flaunting it.
Is it pride, or is it just a lack of caring?
Yeah.
Because I think it could just be a lack of caring.
Yeah.
It's for sure lack of care, and also, like, I also think a certain amount is, like, just a lack of awareness. They are so in their own world that they aren't even thinking about the guy standing behind them as they do the old between-the-legs shimmy with the towel. We don't need that happening.
Like, if your house is dark, let me ask you this.
Okay.
If your house is dark, you took a shower, and you forgot something that you were going to wear is in the dryer.
Yeah.
Lights are off. I walk there naked. Do you guys do that?
Yeah, but also, like, literally one of my favorite features of my house, Chewy, is that the laundry is upstairs, and literally, it's probably 10 steps. It would take me 10 steps to get from my shower to the dryer.
Now, these windows that they make today, you can't see inside.
Yeah, depending upon the windows.
I was going to say, it would depend on the window you
depends
get.
Depends upon the windows.
Some windows are just straight-up windows. Let me tell you, I've seen into people's houses.
I would like to, and I don't know if we track these types of things, Josh. Maybe this just ends up being the runaway winner. But I would like to nominate this text from Linda as our carbless talk and text of the year. 800-990-3776. Linda in the Falls: dresses are way more comfortable in the heat than anything else. The airflow cannot be denied, but it does not prevent swamp ass.
Yeah, but at least you're getting circulation up there. We just need some guys with some nuts.
Here's where I need you to stop. I need you to stop. We just had a dress wearer who said, the flow is nice, but you still get swamp ass. So your whole theory now, you need to go back to the drawing board. You can't just power through. She told you. We went to the source.
Yeah, but I guess.
Again, the airflow, again. She said the airflow cannot be denied. And I'm guessing that would feel nice on a hot summer day. You get a little breeze. But again, the swamp ass is unavoidable no matter what you're wearing.
It seems to be the only advantage is you're a slightly less uncomfortable with your swamp ass.
Because you're getting benefits elsewhere.
Right, right. That seems to be the only...
Why can't they have, you know, like in cars, they've morphed into like cooling things in the seats now.
Okay.
So you want those in our pants?
Battery controlled where you just got... Because I don't care what... Jeans are not comfortable. They're just not. There's so many better things than jeans.
So what are you going to wear to the Ohio State University?
I'm going to wear the
joggers?
Joggers.
So you're just going to deal with the bunching?
Yeah.
Or the...
Because they're more comfortable than jeans.
The bunging, excuse me. Not the bunching. The
Maybe
bunging.
My problem is... you guys remember this. My son wanted for Christmas like $300. I'm not buying him $300 pair of jeans.
Yep.
Okay? The $70 jeans are fine.
Sherry chiming in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. How do you guys walk around with those things?
Yeah.
LOL. Seinfeld.
Yeah. So, why? How much do you pay for your jeans?
The last time I bought a pair of jeans, I probably paid, I don't know, $35-$40.
All right. Joshy?
Anywhere from like 50 to like 70-ish, but I typically buy the ones that I find for cheap because I'm not super picky on like the cut and the it's like, do they fit? Do they feel good? Great. They're jeans. I'm wearing them.
Like, Gabe, I struggle to buy a robot. It's hard for me.
Well, because, I mean,
it's hard.
Because you're a large human being. I got to imagine buying all clothes is tough for you.
No. What's a robot short sleeve cost?
The short sleeve is like, I don't know, $85-$90.
I mean, that's a ripoff. I mean, that cost them maybe $3.
No, it's expensive. But they are, honestly, they're my favorite polos that I have. And now I'm just doing a live read for Roback, even though we've tried to get them to sponsor the show and they haven't.
Gabe,
so.
do you have a separation of jeans where it's these are the comfortable everyday jeans and these are like the nicer elevated jeans that I hardly wear? Because I've got many levels of jeans.
I have two pairs of jeans.
Only two?
I have two.
Wow.
That's all I got. And they're both the same. One's a lighter blue. The other's a darker blue. They're the exact same pair because I found they were comfortable. I'm just going to get two pair. We're going to wear these until they wear out. Because I've kind of graduated to this point where like I basically just wear like golf pants.
Yes.
Like I've found some golf pants that are comfortable that I've gotten for cheap, and I just kind of rotate through those, and every once in a while I'll throw on a pair of jeans. Because I'm with Chew. Like the golf pants that I'm wearing, more comfortable than jeans. So, they're softer. They're just better.
So the thing here for Chew is the price tag is going to make him gasp. But everyone swears by the Lululemon pants.
Yeah,
they don't fit me.
Oh, they don't? You've tried them?
European clothes. European clothes? No, their double X is like a large American.
It's Lululemon European.
Yeah, I think it's a.
I think it's just because it sounds funny.
Let's see
where Lululemon was founded very quickly.
London. I think it was London.
Canadian.
Sure. Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
No, you both were wrong.
I was on the right continent, at least.
Yeah, but they still put the queen on their money.
No,
so.
No. They still associate with it. Like, they honor the king. a lot of people would disagree with that.
Vancouver, but he was incorporated in Delaware.
Yeah, I told you. You know why?
Because this is more my side. I'm winning. You're losing.
Nah, I think you said he was European. I think Chewy said he was North American, if I recall.
That's a lie. Look, Canada.
All right,
to England is like Alaska to the United States. It's the same thing.
What does that mean?
All right, I don't know what that means. We're getting sidetracked. Jason Wilde is patiently waiting. I know he's listening because he sent us a text talking about the bunge in Chewy's crotchal region. We'll discuss that with Jason Wilde coming up next. Jen, give it to you.
Ready? All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Before we get to Jason, there is one more Carpless Talk and Text I would like to get to on the Carpless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. Chef Ed saying, wow, thanks for ruining my breakfast. I now have the vision of Chewy in spandex. So, in case you're just joining us, that's what you missed in the first segment. You can always go back and listen later on Wisconsin On Demand. But right now, we welcome in our friend. We welcome in our teammate. We welcome in Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
I don't have to go back on Wisconsin On Demand. I have a listener.
But Jason, you're a guy that likes to try to wear shorts all year long, or do you?
I am, yes. One of the few things Brett Favre and I have in common. Just to recap, I mean, first of all, it is amazing to me that we have two Packers Hall of Famers on our team.
Yep.
And that both of them have this uncanny ability. They know football. There's no doubt about it. And on occasion, they even deliver insight about football. But more often than not, they're talking about something else. And you're sitting there at the beginning going, this guy's an idiot. And then you listen a little longer, and you're like, no, he really isn't. This is really good, and this is really interesting. At least that's the experience I had during the first 22 minutes of the program. So I am on Team Gabe first, that I only own two pairs of jeans. By the way, your golf pants are probably dressier than anything anyone else would wear, right? So those are great.
Aside from the ones that have wacky logos.
Yes. Outside of those, sure. Although I have worn some to fancier occasions.
Went to a wedding, had my ESPN Milwaukee golf pants on. Everybody loved them.
Well, Jason, I think it all stems from the job we had where I literally wore the sweats that I would get from Red Batty home and then wear them back again the next morning. Well, Greatest job in the world.
Let's give people a little insight into the equipment room. There's also something that the guys call some grays. They call them grays.
Which are
gray, free gray, poorly constructed boxer brief style underwear.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And throughout my career, the number of times a guy who is at his locker asks a guy who is walking to the equipment room, which they're renovating right now, along with the locker room, by the way, hey, give me some grays. And you guys don't even, like, buy your... Now, I will say, today's players, there's a lot of fancy schmancy, expensive underwear that they wear, colorful patterns and whatever else. But there's a bunch of cheapskates like Chewy that love the free underwear, along with the free sweatpants and the free quarter zip or hoodie or whatever else. So, and I, spending as much time in a locker room as I do, you know, I was a very early adopter of, I'm going to dress like these guys. Don't fill out the shirt quite the same way, a little more like an offensive lineman, a little less like the Adonises that walk the room elsewhere. But I am always wearing shorts. I have those two pairs of jeans just like Gabe. And I finally, after all these years, have found a track pant or a running pant that is tapered at the bottom but doesn't make my catcher's legs in the calf area look enormous and doesn't have the, to quote you, bunge in the crotchal region.
It's important to avoid, Jason. Very important to avoid.
Yeah, the problem is they're a Nike pants. I mean, you guys are giving out free advertising.
Yeah, right.
Popcorn today. So, but they don't make it anymore. So I had to find. I found this one pair at a Goodwill, and then I had to find a style number. And now I have like a saved search on eBay for every time these pants become available, so I can stock up because they're the only track pant that I'll wear. All the other ones are either bell-bottomy at the bottom or the aforementioned crotchal region issue. So this has been extremely instructive. If people tuned in for Packers talk, they were sorely disappointed. But hey, it's the NCAA tournament. The Packers aren't signing anybody beyond Mecole Hardman, it would appear. So you're not really missing much.
So this is how it works, Jason, in case the people were wondering. You get, and you know, because you've seen, you know, the bins and stuff. So you get like a perforated bag, right? It's like a mesh bag that you put your compression shorts in, your shorts, your socks, anything in there except for your jersey.
Oh, the laundry bag. Separate.
The laundry bag.
It's got a number on it.
What we would do in college. What we do in college is we'd put our underwear in there, because the worst thing in college is doing laundry. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd put your essentials in there and have, you know, the training staff wash that stuff for you. And then in college, we got in trouble for stealing towels from the hotels you stayed in.
Because they were nice towels.
Because after a while, your towels start to stink. And once again, no one wants to do laundry, so we got in trouble doing that.
So, but it's did you play really for Coughlin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could say, I mean, that doesn't surprise. I'm guessing other coaches might have let the towels slide.
They didn't, because then the hotel was billing the team, and we got, and that was a 5 a.m.
How many towels were you taking?
Well, one a week, right? I mean, how often do you wash your towel? I go a week.
Yeah. About that.
Yeah. that's fair.
About a week?
This is a... Yeah, I live with three people that apparently think they live in a hotel because they use their towels once.
Yeah, it's trash.
And I
nuts.
Use mine for at least a week and probably too long. So as the laundry person, it is incredible how many towels I do in a given week, given that this is not a Marriott.
Yeah, so what? I mean, how many towels do you own?
Well, I do laundry. I always do at least one load of laundry during the day. Again, I don't want to make any assumptions. I love the girls and I love Paula very much, but I don't think they appreciate the level of laundry they generate. In fact, yesterday, UW Oshkosh women were playing in the Final Four, and that was a two-hour game. And I had generated so much clean laundry that I had not folded that I was able to watch the entire game while sorting and folding. And by the time I got to the end, I had about four pieces of laundry and everything else belonged to someone else in my house.
Jason, we were talking to Kevin Harlan yesterday, and a big part of the conversation was about his dad, who I know you love him. I love him. I don't know a person that's ever said a disparaging word about Bob Harlan. But it got me to thinking, is there going to be a noticeable difference when Ed Policy takes over for Mark Murphy?
Well, there will be for me because the president will talk to me.
Presumably. Or at least have a chance of talking to you.
No, Ed and I have a... Now, again... I am going to always be critical when I feel it's fair, whether that's about ticket prices or them trying to stop paying taxes to the city of Green Bay. But I think, you know, I've had a ton of really good conversations with Ed. I like him. And if I fundamentally disagree, I think we can disagree without being disagreeable. And look, I think Mark Murphy, from a financial standpoint, has done an outstanding job. And he got both of his hires right. They haven't won a Super Bowl yet, but the GM was a good hire and the coach was a really good hire. So I don't think Mark Murphy has had a bad run. I do think he is prone to verbal missteps, but I think he's done a very, very good job. That said, I think, you know, I still have questions about whether the structure is the best one, because the whole idea was to eliminate the silos that had existed, and I don't think that those in any way have been truly eliminated. So
I heard you talking a little bit about that, I think it was yesterday on KBN, Jason, where there used to be a pretty, and again, if anything I say here is incorrect, please step in and correct me.
Since they are always trying to trick me into a sound graph, then I have to have all these people on Twitter tell me what an idiot I am. So yeah, please.
But there used to be a large, a fairly large divide between LaFleur and Gutekunst. And you think that has kind of shrunken down. So with Policy, is that going to be part of his job to make sure that there's not really a gap between the head coach and GM because they do both report to him?
Yeah, so the issue that I have with that conversation, and I said it to those knuckleheads, was that basically, look, I don't know where that relationship is right now because I haven't talked to Matt about it. And I think Goody is, again, a lot like Ted. Like, I think he's an old scout, not as old as Ted was, obviously. And he just grinds on players and evaluations and the personnel side. I think he's strong with personnel and he's not as strong with personal, if that's fair.
Yeah.
And so I just don't think that, you know, whereas, because they were asking me about these other NFL coaches, like the role that Kevin O'Connell has in Minnesota deciding what they're going to do at quarterback. Like, I still don't believe that the Rodgers thing is dead. Like, I'm looking at that as we're going to see what J.J. McCarthy looks like in the spring. You don't like to come to the offseason program anyway, and we'll make it work for you. But if he doesn't look good to us, you know, stay by your phone for FaceTime calls since you don't get any reception in Malibu. But my point is that they were asking, you know, these coaches seem to be part of the conversation a lot more. And I don't know if that has changed or not in terms of the way LaFleur and Goody talk about personnel moves. But once upon a time, it was suboptimal, right? I mean, it just wasn't. It was clear that Goody was making decisions and LaFleur had little to no input. And if he did have input, oftentimes it was ignored. And look, Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren didn't always see eye to eye on players either, especially that idiot tight end they drafted in the sixth round back in 1992. But Ron always said, look, I'm never going to give you a guy that you absolutely do not want. And I think that that's a reasonable thing. But I would argue that collaboration is much more productive. And I just don't think, you know, again, this is not something I've discussed with LaFleur as of late, but I know once upon a time, he didn't feel like his opinion was valued. And maybe that has, since these guys have now been together going on, what is this going to be, LaFleur's seventh year as the coach?
Yes.
That's, by the way, that's how long Holmgren was the coach, to put that in perspective.
Oh, wow.
So I would hope that there would be a greater level of collaboration now than there was early on.
I think that's fair.
Do you think deep down though LaFleur wants that power? Because Holmgren obviously left after 7 years because he wanted the power of GM and head coach.
I don't want to speak for Matt, but I don't think he wants that power. What I think he wants is to be part of the process. And maybe he is now, or maybe he is to a greater degree. But again, he's not going to the NFL scouting combine. So to me, when coaches don't go to that, that would indicate to me, and maybe I'm assuming incorrectly, but that would indicate to me that their say in personnel is not optimal. Now, I don't think Sean McVay goes, and Sean McVay obviously works really well with Les Snead, so that's not necessarily true of their relationship. But again, I believe in collaboration. I want to have conversations with everybody, and it doesn't mean I'm going to take everybody's advice the same. Doesn't mean I'm going to do something that you ask me to do because I collaborated with you. If I think something is a better idea, I'm going to go with that. But I think it's important for people to feel included, and that their opinion matters. And maybe that is now the case. But early on in their tenure, you know, 19, 20, 21, I don't think that there was that feeling. While Rodgers was sitting there going, you know, they don't care what I think. You know, I wonder how much Matt LaFleur could identify with that feeling.
Jason, always appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing more of it coming up. Will the Intouch starts at 9 a.m. here on 94.5 ESPN.
All right, fellas. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are going to get to our weekly conversation with Craig Karmazin coming up next, but I do want to tell you that you should be making plans to stop by Bunzl's this week and grab some of these homemade specials. Frozen Canadian walleye fillets, $14.99 a pound. Bunzl's homemade fresh stuffed pork tenderloins are $7.99 a pound. The marinated chicken wings, which are fantastic, but do come in a bunch of different flavors. Bourbon, buffalo, California garlic, Louisiana Bayer flavored. Those are $6.89 a pound. Bone-in pork steaks are $3.99 a pound. I talk about them each and every week. Great family-owned and operated company that provides amazing homemade food. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been on the road doing some vacation stuff, Vegas, Florida, the last couple of weeks. I am going to go to Bunzl's this weekend, and I cannot wait to be able to make some homemade Bunzl's food because, again, their quality, to me, is a step above everybody else. Bunzl's, 90th and Burleigh. Find all their weekly specials and more. Bunzl's.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
Always love catching up with Good Karma Brands founder, CEO Craig Karmazin, each and every Friday. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, guys.
How many pairs of jeans do you own?
Like seven.
Do you have them separated into different categories? Because I only have two pairs of jeans. Like they're one is a slightly darker blue than the other, whereas Josh has jeans that are like dressier jeans that you could, you know, wear to maybe nicer places. Whereas Chewy, I mean, well, you got one pair of jeans, big guy, and you absolutely hate them.
I got two.
You got two?
Two. Yeah.
I got black. I got gray. I don't know enough about clothes to know which ones are nicer or not, but I got different shades of blue. I got 7, 8 pairs.
Wait, what do you mean you don't know? I mean, it's about how they look. I guess mm-hmm. I don't care. I mean, the price is irrelevant in terms of how nice they are. It's just how they look.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know fashion. I don't know, like, I mean, for a while, like, ripped jeans were, like, dressier. And, like there's certain, like, kinds of jeans that, like, could give off different vibes. I'm not into clothes, so I don't know the vibes that the clothes are giving off.
You just kind of slap them on.
He's clearly not into clothes because he was the worst dresser when we do the Sunday show for you. Right, Craig? You weren't very good.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm fortunate that I have a friend who dresses me during important situations, but besides that, I don't know what I'm wearing. I have no clue. I'm not into fashion.
All right, Craig, question for you. You ever run a 5K?
Yes.
You ever been in? Okay, so we both have daughters.
I did a half marathon this, a few months ago.
Okay, so I'm going to Ohio State. It's Parents Weekend up there to see my daughter, and there's a 5K run. So my wife was going to run it, and my daughter. And I said, all the parents were going to walk it or whatever. And I said, I'll walk it because my knees are kind of 10-man-ish now. So they say, oh, great. They're all excited until they told me it's a powder run. You ever heard of that?
No, it's a powder.
Is that where like you get like things thrown on you and then you're in the different colors by the end of it?
Yes. So once I heard that, I said, yes. I said, I'm out. I am not doing that. And obviously there was disappointment. Was I wrong in backing out? Because I don't think I am.
Yes.
No.
What? What are you
throwing stuff at me?
But what are you worried is going to happen? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I assume this is like a lot of people are doing this. This isn't dangerous. What were you worried about?
Taking the dirty clothes and all I bring is a backpack, which I bring very little clothes. And it's going to be a big mess. And I don't want to deal with a big mess. And I don't want to have to pack more clothes.
In College Town, maybe not the best hotel, so you don't know that the shower is great, and you're going to have like all this powder on you. I think for you, that's a good spot, Chewy. I think it's fine that you didn't walk it. I'm not killing you for that.
Even though they're sad?
I think that's fine for you. Yeah. You could say it's like the head injury, you get upset. Like just I think it's a good call.
Okay.
Yeah, because you would be they don't want you doing this because then you would be miserable the rest of the day and trip.
Totally.
And you'd be bringing everybody down. So while there's initial sadness, there would be more disappointment from them later when you were being a pain in their ass.
And I'm only bringing one pair of shoes. So those shoes would probably get smoked, and then, it's just...
I mean, we do have to understand...
And one pair of underwear also, I feel like that somehow comes into play here.
You could just bring a slightly bigger bag and accommodate all of these things, if you so choose to. It wouldn't be that difficult.
Oh, that's a good call. But Chewy changing the bag that he was planning to bring to somewhere, even if it was a month before, that's a major change.
Yeah. That's just not possible, Josh. I don't know what you requested something impossible. I don't know why you would even think this.
Yeah, I never even considered that Chewy could change the bag he was going to bring.
No, no, that's because you've known him for so long. Like, Joshy's still, I mean, Joshy's still, you know, in the early stages of working with Chewy compared to you, Craig.
You could go just from backpack to duffel and accomplish all your goals.
No, but there's one Chewy, thing you're forgetting.
Would your...
There's one thing you're forgetting.
Wait, I want to hear this. Yeah.
I have to carry my wife's bag, too. So I carry three bags. She carries one. And I don't think I could handle bumping up that bag because I need something over the shoulders, right? That's fair.
No, he's only got two hands.
I think for a weekend, I guarantee you could do it. Chewy, when's the last time you changed, like, when you changed what bag you might bring for a trip, and how late was that decision?
I need days.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you already packed the backpack?
Yeah. No. Heck no.
But you just, it's just sitting there ready to go.
But the problem is this, now Southwest is going where you have to pay for your bag. So you got to rethink that whole thing there, right? Because a carry-on is a lot less than the checked luggage.
Well, yeah, because the carry-on's free.
I don't know if it's free anymore.
Yeah, carry-on's still free.
Yeah.
It is still free? Okay. Yeah. So I'm all about the carry-on.
All right.
Right, which a duffel bag that Josh is suggesting would still be a carry-on.
Which, yeah, would easily fit inside carry-on.
Did you go to the games yesterday, Craig, at Fiserv?
I did go to the game last night. I'm here in Los Angeles, where the Milwaukee Bucks defeated the Los Angeles Lakers at Crypto.com Arena.
How are you feeling?
Like physically, because it's early in the morning, or about the Bucks?
About the Bucks.
I am feeling that last night did not tell us much. You look at the Lakers bench and you saw Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura, and you saw LeBron James, and you saw Luka Doncic. And so I don't think last night told us absolutely anything about the Bucks, but there are three more games on this road trip, which I think will tell us something. Suns are playing a little better. The Denver Nuggets are a team that the Bucks beat, but I know the Nuggets have been resting some players, but they'd like to beat the Bucks. And the Sacramento Kings are a pretty good team at home, even though they lost to the Bulls last night. So I think these next three games tell you something. And if the Bucks win two out of three, I think they'll probably get back into a tie with the Pacers for the four spot, and they're leaving a really, really tough road trip where you want to be.
Craig, we talked a little bit about this yesterday with the tournament kicking off. What is your favorite sports day of the calendar year?
Wow. I mean, that Thursday and Friday, I mean, yesterday and today are just so good. I don't know. I don't know that anything can be better in terms of the volume. I mean, as an NBA fan, I love those first days of the playoffs now where you have four games, but first round of the playoffs, could be up and down. I don't know. I mean, Chewy, are you first Masters. Day of the NFL season still?
No, Masters. Masters.
Which day? Moving day? Friday? Which day?
I love day one in the man cave by yourself when that music first comes on. That's probably my favorite. And then it's followed.
Wow, Joshy hasn't been with you for a while, by the way. The fact that Joshy let you say that Masters first day when the music comes on and he didn't have the music playing on in the background for you. you and Joshy must be still new in this relationship.
No, we did have a guy. You fired him, I think, right after the show.
Yeah.
Where he came out with something. Yeah. I said, hey, I didn't even know his name. He wasn't here long enough. Where I said, hey, can you bump with the Masters stuff? And he played like Beethoven's Fifth. I'm like, what are you doing? Remember that, Craig? And then he was mysteriously gone. If you want to have a reunion for me,
Karma Brands.
If you want to have a
thank you for clearing
Craig,
that up, Craig.
If you want
that was
a reunion, if you want a reunion for me, bring back every producer that did our show and this show. I mean, remember
Big
Doc?
Do
you remember Doc?
I don't think even Gabe knows Doc.
I have no idea who Doc is.
If anyone's listening, maybe someone who's listening right now could text the Carveless Talk and text line. If you know Eric Doctorman. That was his name.
He was a weird dude. Weird. Dude, and then there was the time, Gabe, where
Doc was
Dan
smart
Dragon's,
and Doc was funny.
Dan Dragon's mother came to the studio to confront me because I was being too mean to her son.
True story.
Did you back
Wait,
down?
If anyone knows Eric Doctorman?
No.
Yes.
I did? I kind of
Yeah,
did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I
did. If anyone's listening knows Eric Doctorman in the Wisconsin area, I heard he became a pharmacist, which I feel like, Chewy, you usually befriend pharmacists. And maybe he just went to work at a Walgreens after GKB. But I thought he became a pharmacist. If anyone listening has
You know who I could ask?
Eric Doctorman.
I could ask the Blammer, because the Blammer worked for Walgreens for years. We may have an end.
Wait, he's just got like a database of all the other pharmacists?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Blammer does what the Blammer does.
Yeah, the Blammer does.
That's what happened. Wait,
Scotty
how,
Wiz?
Gabe, how are we feeling about Scotty Wiz?
Scotty
Wait, Gabe,
Wiz, the Polish hammer?
I actually feel really good about Marquette. I think that their style of play is going to throw other teams off. I don't think teams are going to be allowed to be as physical as St. John's was with them once you hit the tournament, although that kind of becomes a crapshoot with all the different styles of officiating that are out there. I feel really good about this, and I am intrigued to see them match up with Michigan State later this weekend after they win today.
Ooh. Wow, you're that confident.
I am. This senior group is so – it's just a special senior group, and I do not believe that they are going to go out losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I refuse to believe that, as fun and as good as this senior group is.
And you don't think they're worn down at all?
I don't. I do not. Have had time to recover. They last played a game a week ago. Like, that's a lot of time to recover. And I guess – and again, I've talked about this before, but – as a 21, 22-year-old, you know, I mean, it was college baseball, but whatever. But, like, as a 21, 22-year-old, like, you're always just ready to play. Like, your body's ready to go. So I think the recovery time when you're in college is different than when you get professionally and you're in the NBA. You start getting to your upper 20s into your 30s. You got to do all the things that LeBron has had to do to have his body last this long. But in college, especially for the NCAA tournament, no, I don't think they're going to be worn down at all.
Then we got a coin toss, Badgers-BYU on Saturday.
Yeah, BYU
right?
Look good.
Are you feeling that confident about the Badgers also?
I don't feel as confident, but in fairness, I don't like watch the Badgers as much as I watch
right.
Marquette.
Yeah.
To have that level of confidence. Although I was impressed by the way Wisconsin played yesterday.
And BYU looked good too.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of that game. That's solid. That'd be a good game. That'd be a really good game.
That's going to be is that too? You know the Mormons better than I do. Is that like a home game for BYU in Denver? Like, does Salt Lake, do they travel to Denver? You got a good deal there?
The Mormon Mafia travels very well. Very well. Yeah. You'd be surprised how many are out there. I mean, there were a lot in the NFL. A lot. And Andy Reid would get me information.
Andy Reid, right?
From wherever. Yeah. And I'd be like, how'd you get that information? He'd be like, Mormon Mafia. Yeah. Good stuff. Mm.
All right, Craig, enjoy the rest of your time in Los Angeles. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good. See you, Mormon Mafia.
Craig Carmson joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you're looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner, Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years. And for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee, we offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help you navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. So what that means is, that with the great team they've assembled here, I love all the people and the different things that they do at Fifth Third Bank. Fifth Third, they're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions with, again, that 167 years of experience that they have, but they're still empowered to make those local decisions right here in Milwaukee and build strong community connections. Experience the commercial banking value. Only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold can be good, too.
Yeah, well, no. Cold can be good. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I do want to tell you about our friends at Ewald Automotive Group, because you can get more with the all-new Kia K4 at Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc, just $188 a month. You get more leg room and more miles per gallon than the Sentra. New 2025 Kia K4s with a whole lot more. $188 a month, four by. Get it with Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. Yeah, I did not stutter. That's correct. 20 years, 200,000-mile warranty. Visit Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc. Deal expires at month's end. With Ewald, it's always easy. Just go to ewaldauto.com. Chew, a couple of months ago, we spent quite a bit of time talking about a Paul Skeens autographed card that a kid had pulled, and the Pirates had offered up, hey, you know, bunch of tickets, some autographed merchandise that ultimately the family from L.A. that pulled it, the kid who pulled it, turned down. And the Pirates still decided to give him some cool Paul Skeens stuff because, again, probably unreasonable from someone to L.A. have season tickets for 30 years to go to the Pirates. That card has finally sold. So it went up for auction, and it sold yesterday. Do you have any guess at how much it sold for?
$1.2 million.
Yeah, $1.11 million.
Okay.
It is the second highest card ever. A one-of-one Trout rookie card, Mike Trout rookie card, sold for $3.9 million back in August of 2020. So it is...
That's a bad investment. That's bad.
Probably.
What if he tanks? We've all seen guys tank.
Sure.
Right? Especially pitchers. I mean, if he tanks, Gabe, and just becomes an average player, that card ain't worth $1.1 million anymore.
Correct.
What makes it worth $1.1 million?
The rarity. It's a one-of-one. It's a rookie. It's autographed. All the things that card collectors look for. Like, those
after
are all the
one
things.
Year, after 1 year.
Yeah, but again, whoever ended up buying it is just assuming that, that Paul Skeens is going to continue to skyrocket. And that they will, and let's be honest, if you're buying the card, I highly doubt that this person is going to resell the card at a later date. They're probably putting it on display in the house, they're putting it in the safe, they're saying, hey, look at this. And look, if the card goes up in value... Then he can brag to his friends of, oh, yeah, I bought this for 1.1. It's worth 2.5 now. You know, but I highly doubt whoever bought this is, like, because, again, I understand if you look at it as an investment. Oh, you're going to do this and then resell it. I highly doubt the person who bought this, if it ends up being worth anything, sells it. He's probably just going to, you know, display it in the house somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, if that card's worth that much money, needs to go to the Red Sox, needs to go to the Dodgers, get a little more exposure. He ain't going to get any exposure with the Pittsburgh
Pirates. You can still get plenty of exposure.
You think so?
I mean, look how much exposure he has now. Mm-hmm. He's probably one of the most top five recognizable players in baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know him from Adam.
Also, just give him time to run through his contract. He will end up elsewhere.
I'm guessing he is not going to end up a member of the Pittsburgh Pirates. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up in 2 minutes.